Let every soul be subject to the higher powers. Here's the power, sovereign. Here's the authority. God is the authority first. He's the lawmaker. He's the ruler. He's the judge. It's in the Bible. God is our lawmaker, our ruler, our judge. So God is the one that makes the laws. Then He's the one that makes provision for those laws. Then He's the one that executes those laws. He's everything. Now, no human being should play God. They might be a lawmaker, but they shouldn't also be then the executioner, the executive, the king. So they should be one and not the other. However, all sovereignty is put in the people. The sovereign people, that means the people in aggregate. That means all of us. Everybody in the room, you're sovereign. And then when we set up our government, the black down here, under the blue, remember, it's always under the red. If you're only under the blue, you're a slave. You're then just a creature of man. And every government in this world, up until the time when the founders set it up, except for Israel, and that only for a few years, every government in the world has been under blue and not under red. But in truth, it was even under red then. Because God's always in charge. He's always the lawmaker, ruler, and judge. And what He's wanting us to do is voluntarily come under His right side rather than His left side. Under His left side, this is my right side over here. This is where I accept Him as my Lord and Savior, not just my Creator. This is His right side, Creator. Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. Not only the one that justifies me, but the one that sanctifies me, the one that glorifies me also. So that the works that I do, I didn't do, the Holy Spirit did them. Remember Jesus said that? He said, the works that I do, I don't do. The Father who dwelleth in me doeth the works. Good teacher, da 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 da. I'm not good. Don't say I'm good. You totally misunderstand. Yeah, but you're a good teacher, da 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 da. No, the Father who dwells in me does the work. Give Him the glory. Even Jesus, whom we know is good, we know is God, He said, give God the glory. Why? Because when Jesus was on the earth, even though He was God, He emptied Himself of all His power. And He said, I will take the form of a servant. That's what God wants you to be. That's an office. When you take the office of servant and you become a trustee for God, you understand now political government. You understand ecclesial government. I'm a trustee. I'm not the big shot. I'm not the main person in our church. I'm the servant of all. Why? Because I play that role. Meaning, in my person, I'm beloved of God. But in my office, I'm the one to love others for God the way He directs. And my only job as an officer, right here, whether it's political or religious or whatever it is, if I am a person here, under these provisions here, under these laws here, under these higher authorities here, under this power here, then I'm going to do the will of God. I don't have many gods here, I only have one. When I obey God, He wants me to obey this sovereign. In this case, it's all the people. So I'm going to do the people's will. And I don't care what the president says, I don't care what the governor says, I don't care what the mayor says, I don't care what the policeman says, I don't care what anyone says, I'm going to do this will and no other. Now let's say I get punished for it. So what? I don't care. So I suffer for it. That only proves that I hold my position. That only proves that I was a good steward. You say, well, yeah, but that was unjust. That person abused his office. Well, so what? That's normal. God arranges all that stuff. Maybe I needed a good whipping. You see? Is it right? I don't care if it's right. I'm not complaining about it. I'm just going to praise God. Beat me. Because in the end, I'll win. Why? Because I belong to God. That's why. Now, if you don't have that faith, you don't want to try this as an experiment. But you better learn how the thing works. This is how it works. So here is the sovereign, and since he's so real, he apparently is watching out over me. His eye is on the sparrow. Knowing that, whether it's church or state or whatever it is, doesn't make any difference, I'm going to be his slave. I've been bought with a price. An ear. My ear has been pierced. And so I know, in the church, I don't serve myself. I don't try to get a big salary. I never make any of the mission that I go on. I never take a penny. I don't want any money. I don't want anything. I come to give, not to take. My God supplies all my needs. You say, well, what if they offer you something? I won't take it. I won't take it. You know why? You say, well, you're helping them out if you take it. Yeah, only if they have it. But I know in many cases they do not. The places I go, you don't want to go. I was with the Pygmies 2 years ago up in Burundi. Spent 3 days. And if you saw their kitchen, you would not eat. Because their kitchen isn't inside at all. It's outside. But if you saw the way they worship God, you wouldn't care about eating. They love the Lord. So when they would bring the food to me, and I'd look at it and I'd realize that probably wasn't cooked quite the way I'd like it to be cooked, I might get some bugs. So I say, you know what? You know what I'd really like to have? What? Just say whatever it is. A banana. You know the one with the peel still on it? And so for 3 days I ate bananas. And they asked me, they said, why don't you ever eat the food? I said, well, I know your kitchen has some, it's different than my kitchen. You know, if you want me to come back, you know, I'm going to have to stay alive. And you can resist some of these bugs. Could you live with them? I can't. I'm too sensitive. I'll just keel over. So I'm here to serve. I'm here to give you. I'm not trying to take something. Thank you for your love. Give me a banana. So I ate a lot of bananas. They actually went out and they bought a whole, you know, thing of bananas. You know, so it was great. So you have to know how to live, because I've been on the mission field for, you know, long time, 20 some years or more, whatever. And you cannot I have had missionaries die right there in front of my eyes. They die because they were not careful, foolish. You can't just be romantic and, you know, God will take care of me. No, He won't. He expects you to use your brains and not to be stupid and foolish. Anyway, I won't tell you all that I do, but I do things to keep alive. But I'm not paying attention to that. I can go without food for days and days and weeks. You understand? I don't care. I'm a servant. I'm on a mission. I'm not going to serve myself. I'm going to serve God. And I'm going to stay alive. Really, I'm going to stay alive, not just to live. I'm staying alive to come back and serve again. So I don't want pay and I don't want anything. My God will supply all my needs, not worry about it. So I'll be fine. I'll be fine. I'm not going to mess around and take a risk. I want to do what's right. So I focus on the teaching because I know that's what God's given me to do. Now, God's in the heavens. He has a law. That law is not only the law of Moses, it's not only the cross of Jesus Christ, which is the gospel, and it's not only the Holy Spirit, which is the power of God in His believers, in His holy ones, Old Testament, New Testament, whatever. But He wrote in every man's heart. This is what's different. This is what's in every man. This is common. Here's where the dialectic takes place over here. Every man has the duty and the right and the liberty. If I have a duty, I just told you I have three duties. Here's God up in the heavens. He gives me three duties. My religious duty, my moral duty, and my civil duty. Now, if I have a duty, then I have a right. How many know you have a right to do what you have a duty to do? I have a right to do what I have a duty to do. I don't have rights. I have duties. Duties give me rights. Duties create rights that necessitate liberty. If I have a right to do something, then I have the necessity to do it. Because I have a right to do it. It's a duty. And God gave it to me. So if God gave me a duty, then I know I have a right to do it. And I know I have the liberty to do what I have a right to do. Did you see that? Now, God then gave you three duties, and you have a right to do your duty, and you have the liberty to do what you have a right to do. God, then, is not only the sovereign Lord who arranges the whole world. He creates the world. Then He gives laws to the world. Then He makes provision for the world. Then He appoints people for the world. All of that is up to God. Now, that's the heaven, red. Red is over blue. The sovereign, then, in every case, is always the sovereign people. Even in the most communist country or the most debauched country, still they rule in the name of the people. The communist, socialist, blah, 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 whatever it's called, it's always in the name of the people. Every king has always ruled in the name of the people. Even if they say in the name of God, it's in the name of God, but God loves the people, and the king rules in the people's name. Under God. In the fear of God. Now, because of that, the founding fathers said, let's copy nature as close as possible, because no other nation has ever done that. Except for Israel in the Old Testament, who began it, but never did it. They began it, but they didn't do it. Now we know that King David was a man after God's own heart. So there was a good example of a king after God's own heart. Problem is, couldn't keep his family in order. Did you notice that about David? He had a messed up family. So his moral duty, even though the guy loved God, he was a good believer, totally believed in God, but the fruit of it was that he often did his own thing. Remember one time he numbered the army? God told him, what'd you do that for? It seemed like a cool thing. Well, yeah, but you forgot to ask me. Sorry about that. No, not sorry about that. You depend on me for everything. Yeah, I believe in that. Yeah, but you didn't do it. Another time he put the ark on a wagon. Remember that? And the guy died. And David was mad at God. God, I hate that. I built you a nice wagon and everything. Then the thing started to fall. That guy helped out and he killed him. What's wrong with you? You need your brains fixed or something. Son, I don't get you. I'm not going to keep that thing in my house. Obed-Edom, you want this thing? You want this box? Yeah, I'll take that. And Obed-Edom began to be blessed. David noticed that. How come Obed-Edom? He's got this thing in his backyard, and he's flourishing. I had it, and he killed my best friend. I don't get it. The guy says, why don't you want to ask me? Yeah, sure. What? Did I do something? What? Did I do something? I mean, you know, it's always you. You're the king. It's always your responsibility. It's like somebody said, how come George Bush trying to kill us? I love it. They know because he's the king. He's the ruler. How come he's responsible then? See, so they go right to the top. That's correct. Now, George Bush wasn't trying to kill him. But that's what they thought because they knew, yeah, but he's in charge. You got to blame the dad. You got to blame the ruler, which is another way of saying God. God, you appointed that guy. Look what he did to me. It's no good. It's good. God loves that. That's why we killed Jesus. We killed Jesus when he came down and said, you know what? We're mad at God, so we're going to kill you. You're his boy, right? We killed his boy. Yeah. See that? Now, you'll be careful next time. God said, you guys are crazy. I'll tell you what. I love you guys, but you didn't kill my boy. You killed him, but I'll just raise him up again. Boom. And you know, I don't care what you've done. God will forgive you. Because he's in love with you. You realize that? God's in love with you. I know what his law says. And he's going to keep his law. But he did keep it. By killing Jesus, he took your death. Jesus didn't come down and we got a hold of him and killed him and it was a big mistake. No, Jesus came down deliberately to die. Because he's a trustee. He's an officer. He only serves the will of God. That's what we need when we elect a legislator, when we elect somebody who's an executive or a judge. We got to elect people that are trustees. They don't have a will of their own. They don't do their own will. They'll even tell you that. They'll even say, you know, look, I'm just carrying out the law. Okay, fine. But let it be the people's law, not the letter of the law that kill it. Not you to get, you know, a higher salary. Not you to promote something else and so on. You got to do what the sovereign says, not just what the letter of the law saith. So interpret that law until it comes out on my good. Did you see that? Every law is always for your good. This is the theory. I don't care how it works out in practice. I'm telling you, stick to what God said. Stick to what God said. Now listen to what he said. He said right here. Therefore, every person to the superior authorities be subject. Not for there is authority except by God. I'm reading out of the Greek. There isn't any authority except by God. So a bad authority is no authority at all. If somebody's corrupted and doing bad, they're not an authority. There is no government except from God. All government is from God. You say, well, there's a bad government. No, there is no such thing. If it's government, it's from God. So if it's a bad government, it means it's not a government. It's a tyranny. It's an anarchy. It's something else. God doesn't even acknowledge it. There is no authority to a bad government. If it's a de facto government, not a de jure government, it's not a government at all. Those are just the guys in power. Some criminals are in power for a while. Some fascists, some communists, some whoever. Doesn't make any difference. And we may well have that now. I don't really care. Because I know the problem is not the government. The problem is me. The problem is always us. Are you following? This is the way God thinks, and it's the way the founders thought. They never thought England was the problem. They thought they were the problem. They said, God, let us draw close to you, or we're not going to beat England. There's no way we're going to pull away. England's going to enslave us just like that. So we're not fighting because we're going to beat them. We're going to, first of all, beat ourselves. We're going to make sure we're clean. And George Washington wouldn't even let anyone swear in his army. The minute you swore, you were out. If you were an officer, you were finished. Right there. And he was rough on his soldiers. You will not rape. You will not pillage. You will not do any of that. Or you're out. And I'll make an example of you. That's a tough guy. Giuliani has nothing on this guy. This guy was tough. And he insisted on this. And you will attend church. You know, and George Washington knew how to make an army that wasn't full of effeminates, that wasn't full of people that were fooling around. He said, you will not do this. And generals that are smart, Mao Zedong was smart also. He saw that, and when he set up his army, he told his soldiers, do not be like Chiang Kai-shek. His people, they get in there and they rape and pillage and so on and so forth as they go through the countryside. You will not take anything. You'll carry a few rice in your back pocket and that's it. And you're going to be kind to these people. That's how we're going to win. We're going to beat them because we have obeyed the moral law. That was smart. Was he a good guy? No, he's not a good guy. But he was smart. He obeyed God's law and God didn't touch him. Chiang Kai-shek lost. Because he went ahead and thought he was a big shot. Could do everything. He could easily have won. But he disobeyed God's higher law. And he understood Christianity. But his morals, he did not discipline his troops. Remember there was a guy in the Bible that wouldn't discipline his sons? His name was Eli. And all of a sudden his sons did all this kind of evil stuff and they were both killed and he fell over the log and died himself. God doesn't like it when we who are close to him fool around with him. He wants you to obey him because this is how his government works. He's trying to make us an example, salt and light. You don't want to lose your salt and you don't want to lose your light. So how can the world see unless they see through you? So God has put the sovereign. Here's what the sovereign has. All the power, all the political power. They make the laws. They create them. They declare them. Then they provide for them. They set up the power. Okay, you have a little power. You have a little power. You have a little power. That way we'll protect liberty. So this government was set up where liberty would stay in the people. That's the only way justice can happen in this country. In any other country, it's all concentrated in one man's power. Putin, in Russia, he wants all the power concentrated in his hands. Judges want all the power concentrated in their hands. The executive, they want all the power in their hands. Everybody wants all the power. But now you're playing God. And God will not call that a government. You're in danger right now. So our founding fathers, both in Texas, where we had it, and I'm sure here in California, our founders set up a government that was a Republican kind of government. Not Republican, Democrat, Republican. But Republic meaning a republic of laws. Not a monarchy, not an aristocracy, not a democracy. Those are all human-made. Let's set up a mixed one that's called a res publica. A res publica is a republic. What does it mean? Res means a thing, and publica means a public thing. So government's a public thing. In other words, it belongs not to a king, it doesn't belong to a bunch of aristocrats, and it doesn't belong to all the people. It's a public thing where the public discusses things, votes, participates, take office, share power. So, you want to have a government where it just runs on its own and you're just going to trust? No way. You failed because this is a public thing. You want to have this government? You have a duty then. You have a responsibility. Other governments, you don't because the king just says what to do and he just beats you up if you don't do it. But we don't have that kind of government. Now, if you're not mature enough to do this, don't do it. Go back to a monarchy. That's what we're going to do now. We're going to go back either to a monarchy or an aristocracy. There's never going to be a democracy. Democracy is a short-lived thing. It'll be over like the French Terror in a few months. It just never works. You just fall back into anarchy. Because the majority, when it rules, it's always vicious. And that'll raise up the minority, and you're going to have continual chaos and instability in any government. So it's better to have a monarchy or an aristocracy if you're not going to be mature and grown up. But we who are self-governing under God, we believe as an individual, I'm going to worship God, put him first, my neighbor second, and then I'm going to also render unto Caesar. Who is Caesar? Well, that happens to be me. I'm Caesar. Caesar here all together, Caesar down here all separate. Here I am in the aggregate with all of you, and here I am as an individual. I set up a government that protects me. I set up a government that fights against any of my enemies. Anyone that's going to take away my life, my liberty, my property, my pursuit of happiness, that person should be punished according to the law, whatever he's done, and dealt with. Why? Because that's how governments work. They're nothing but power. Anytime a government makes a law, it's going to have to empower it. It's going to have to stand behind it. If I was a parent, I told my kids what to do, and another child entered in, like I'd tell the little one, hey, go get daddy a glass of water. And then as they're going through the family room, the older one puts out his foot and trips the little kid. Okay, he tripped me and so on and so forth. Now, it's not for the little kid to kick the big kid. Stop that. You know, that's what little kids do often. No, it's for the dad who sent the little kid knowing that the older brother might do that. You understand? So it's my fault, my responsibility. So I'm going to come in there and I'm going to do something about what the older brother did because I watch over my family. I'm the governor. So if I send the little one and I say, you don't touch him or you're going to be spanked. So then he, okay, you know, and they do whatever they do. But the little kid then, I brought dad the water. You know, and that's the way governments work. Do you understand? That's the way governments work. Is I want this will to be done by these people under these laws according to these institutions with these powers. I want that to be done the way I said. So here's the statute that California passes that's going to be underneath the Constitution. Every statute has to agree with the Constitution unless you're a dialectician. If you're a dialectician, you can fool around with it. So the electors today, the people that get elected today, they don't really care what the people want. They don't care about the people's will. They don't care about their life, their liberty, their pursuit of happiness. They don't care about their property. There is no security. You do not drive up and down the neighborhoods here and feel secure. Why? Because there's not enough police force to stop it. Why? Because the people aren't self-governing. You can't govern a people that refuse to be governed. If you're just going to let it go and there's no strong authority, it's not going to work. God wants there to be. You know why? Do you know why God wants this government to work? It doesn't save anybody. Nobody goes to heaven because of it. He wants to keep you alive until He gets you saved. That's why the church is interested in civil government. That's why we pray. Above all, Paul says, pray for those in authority. Titus, Timothy. You have to pray for them. Why? Because that's what God says. Pray for those in authority. Why? Because this is here. That's who that is. So the sovereign is me, and the one protected is me. I'm the beneficiary as well as the sovereign. This is a public trust. Here's the trust. This is the one that starts the trust. These are the provisions of the trust. Here's the law of the trust. Here's the provision of the property of the trust. Here are the officers of the trust or the trustees. Here is then what they do, the strategy of how they do all these things with these powers, these laws, with these people. And then here's the public sword or the power that is used to bring about justice, which is punish the bad guy, protect the good guy. That's all there's to it. Simple. Government is extremely simple. Listen to Paul. Therefore, the one opposing the authority of God, His ordinance, has opposed. So if you oppose human authority, you're actually opposing God. And the ones having opposed to themselves, judgment they will receive. So if you oppose, God will put judgment upon you. Krima. For the rulers are not a terror to good works, but only to evil. So you say, well, some of the rulers are a terror to good works. Okay, that in fact is true, but not according to their office. And only God is going to discipline them in the office. Here's the sovereign right here. If the sovereign doesn't change things, then nothing's going to happen. It's up to you, the people. We the people. We the people. If you don't do it, nothing's going to be done. Well, they're all corrupt. Well, that's your fault. You didn't vote. You didn't talk to your neighbors. You didn't inform yourself. You didn't know who that person was. Was that person a wise and virtuous person? Or were they a fool? And were they lacking in virtue? Were they paid for by, you know, Merck? Were they paid for, you know, by some wealthy donor, businessman who wants his own way? Well, that's your fault. You should have looked into that. You should have donated. You should have contributed. You should have been involved. Well, that's too much work. Well, too bad then. Because God gave you that job. Well, that's too much. Well, then go back to a monarchy. Hello? Y'all understand? The rules are the rules. I'm just telling you what the rules are, whether you like them or not. These are wise rules. So, is it hard to be under a monarchy? No, you just let the king have his way. But it's not God's way. God never intended for a monarchy to oppress everybody else. Never intended for an aristocracy to oppress everybody else. Is that the way it is? Maybe. But if so, it's because you weren't willing to be take care of the public. You didn't have any public concern. You just concerned about yourself. Well, I got colored TV. I got this and that and so on and so forth. So I'm okay. I'm going to heaven. I'm Jesus. Born again. I'm okay. Yeah? You're not. Because God gave you a job and He's going to ask you about that job someday. Did you do everything I said? I think so. I was born again. Yeah, but did you get all the sin out of your life? Probably not. Well, did you care? Probably not. He don't like that. He really wants you to say, yes, sir, I did wrong. And that's all right. He'll forgive you. But He wants you to say so. You did wrong. And you were foolish, and there are consequences to that. If you do wrong, if you don't follow God's way, there are consequences. The fact that we lose all of our liberty someday is your own fault. It's not because the bad guys were bad. It's because the good guys weren't good. It's not because the bad guys were bad. It's because the good guys weren't good. It's not because the bad guys. The bad guys are only there, and God lets them grow and flourish only because you, the good guy, didn't do what you said. You're a hypocrite. It's your hypocrisy, not their deceit. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? Does anybody get a hold of this? This is hard stuff, but too bad. You got to get it because it's the way that God set up the Word of God. It's the way He set up the society. It's the way everything's been set up. This is the way to get justice and liberty. There is no other set of government. I've studied every government in the world. There's no way. They can't get it. Never have, never will. This is the only hope for all mankind. There is no other government that could be done better than ours. It's not perfect, but it's better than anything else that's out there. Why? Because it's very close to the Word of God. It was intended to set it up so that Christians would be free to obey God and do those three duties. You see, the duty is natural. But the way, as Christians, that we fulfill it is voluntarily. That's what's different. Anybody can say, well, let's set up a republic. Yeah, but you can't keep it. Benjamin Franklin said to the lady, her name was Mary, when he came out of the Liberty Bell building when they were making the Constitution. The lady said, well, gee, you guys been in there a long time. What kind of government we got? And he said, a republic, if you can keep it. Not me. We made it. We'll give it to you. You can ratify it if you want. But you got to keep it. And you may not be able to. This thing is not easy. You want to be immature and a baby? You're not going to be able to do it. But if you want to be mature and a steward of God and do the will of God, you'll be able to do it. So what do you want? And the American people at that time wanted liberty. They wanted freedom. They were happy to be free from England. And they were bound and determined. I could read you 30, 40, 50, 100, 200. I got them all right here. Quotes to show you that every founding father, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Madison, Adams, all of them. Every founding father understood the excitement of setting up a government that was not a Christian government. Not a Christian government. Not a Christian government. It was just a secular government, left hand over here. But it was set up where the dependency was indirectly on the Christian to be mature. They knew, let's set up a government. Well, let's set up a government where we don't punish Christians or we don't help them. We don't either help them or punish them because God is the one that supplies all their needs. Let's just leave them be free. And if they're free, they'll do good. And if that doesn't work, this government will never work. So it'll just fall back. Who cares? That's where we are today. We have fallen right back to where we were in the beginning. You are enslaved today because of your own unwillingness to obey God. Don't blame somebody else. Blame yourself. You are the leaders. You are the ones that God has called. Stand up. Be strong. Be strong in the Lord. This is a command of God right here. Listen to what it says. For the rulers are not a terror to good work, but to the evil. Kekel. And do you not want to fear the authority? The good do, and then you'll have the praise from the ruler. For God, servant he is to you for good. In other words, what he's saying is, this ruler is a servant, diakonos, which is a deacon. He is a servant to you for good. But if you do evil, then you better be afraid. For it's not in vain that he bears the sword. Machairon. He bears the sword. And it's of God. For a servant he is, an avenger for wrath to the one practicing evil. Therefore it's necessary for you to be subject, not only because of wrath, because you're afraid, but also because of your conscience. Because of this, for you also, taxes you must pay, for public servants of God, they are for this very thing. In other words, they're supposed to be collecting taxes. Not too much, but just the right amount. You know what the right amount is? Very simple. Whatever it takes to protect me and get the bad guy. That they have no right to do anything else. Welfare systems, all that kind of nonsense. That's nonsense. This is all dialectic stuff. That's because the corrupt officials that you've elected now want this other French Revolution kind of thing. Why do they want it? Because they make out like bandits. And you are so lazy and ignorant, you don't want to know anything, you just want to watch TV. You know, that's your fault. That's your fault because you didn't serve God, because you took this life to say, hey, let me get as much as I can out of this life rather than be a servant. No, you were called to be a servant of God. If you don't want it, no problem, but you're going to suffer the consequences. If you're not willing to lose your life, you won't find it. But if you lose your life, you find it. Did you know that your whole purpose in life is to serve others, serve God, serve others, and serve all your neighbors, not just Christians, but everybody. Isn't that neat? Isn't that exciting? You don't look all that excited, huh? It's exciting. Because you get to die, you get to suffer, you get to give up everything. Because, you know why? Why would you do that? Why would anyone do that? Why? Because God has already promised you heaven. Not only did He promise to give you everything on earth too. He said, if you'll seek first the kingdom, I'll give you everything else. Not just in heaven, you'll get it here too. But if you just got it to get that stuff and you're just using God to get your own kingdom, not going to work. You aren't going to fool Him. That's dialectic nonsense. You have to serve God, because if you'll serve God and work hard, God will give you an abundance. That's why America was such a great nation and could be yet, but will not be until there's a repentance in the church. There's no way God's going to give you back your country because you're not willing to suffer. Because you're not willing to do what He originally wanted, which is to get you ready for heaven. This is just a testing ground. Amen? You stop worrying about, oh, but the bad guys are doing this and that. Everybody knows that. Okay, we see a few more movies, read a few more books. But you know what? What you need to pay attention to is what the problem is. That's not the problem. The bad guy is never the problem. It's never the beast. It's never the bad guy. It's always you, the church, the bride. If God's people will turn to God with all their heart and all their soul and all their strength and serve Him and serve Him alone, you know what? He'll bless you beyond measure. He's promised that. And at one time, for 200 years, we experienced that. Now we're experiencing a demise. Is it because of the bad guys are in there? No, it's not. It's because the church is asleep, the pastors. I don't even blame the people. I totally, 100% blame pastors. It's John Coleman. He's the one. I've nailed it. I got it. I know right where the problem is in L.A. Now, John's a blessing, and the more time I've spent with him, you know, it's such a blessing. He's a true brother, powerful. But he's a servant. He's one that doesn't care about this world. He cares about the kingdom of God, and he's trying to help L.A., help the church, help, you know, whatever, because he loves God and he fears God. And he wants to do exactly what God has set up. This government thing is fun. You think you're going to find non-corrupt people? Forget that. But you might find 10 or 20 or 100 people that, you know, really love the Lord. And they're dedicated to God. So get together with them. That's what God wanted. God actually wants us to get together on a civil basis. He wants us to be civil. You know what? The Muslims can't do this. The Jewish people can't do it. Nobody can do it. The Jewish people set up their little nation and said, you know, give us a chance. Give us a nation. So in 1948, they got their own nation. They set it up. And he said, you just watch us. In 40 years, we'll have this place like a Garden of Eden. And you'll see how the neighbors all get along with us. Well, we got the oranges. But we didn't get the neighbor. Why? Because they weren't up to it. They weren't a holy people. You see, they were clever people, smart, not good enough. God wanted them to really practice true religion, not just some kind of Jewish kind of made up stuff. It's not even true Judaism. They're not even Mosaic. It's just a Pharisaic, dialectic, trickery kind of deal, like we're philosophers and we're good people and all this kind of nonsense. Only God is good. So the Jewish people have to go through the furnace over and over and over and over and over and over and one last time, now. And I believe it's going to happen any day now. You're going to see, and I've been prophesying this for a long time, the Jewish people are going to see their cities decimated. They're not going to get away from the Muslims. America's not going to help them. It's not going to work that way. They're going to be decimated. And then they're going to turn back to God. After chastening. See, chastening is good. That's because God loves the Jewish people. It's not because He hates them. It's because they're His sons. They're His daughters. He loves that people. And He said, I made a promise that I'd make you a holy people. You haven't made yourself holy at all. But I'll put you through the furnace, and this time you'll burn. And when you burn, you're going to come out pure. When you come out pure, you will pass the church. Do you understand? Because we, the church, are just, you know, we're not that excited today. But I'll tell you, when Israel gets fired, gets burned, when she comes out, those that are left, the remnant, they're going to be on fire. You better be ready, because Jesus come back. So you better get done everything you have to do, because it's time. They seen through our mercy. They knew we were no good. And they saw that God blessed us anyway. How come God blessed those rotten people? They're not Jewish. They don't belong to Moses. How come God likes those people? They've watched that. We've been playing with all their toys. How come I play with our toys? Guess God loves us. You see? Well, they know they have a destiny too. Well, how come our destiny? I don't know. You must be naughty. I guess you're naughty. I guess you've been bad. Well, what have we done wrong? We've done everything right. We give good stuff and charity and so on and so forth. We have orchestras and, you know, what have we done? Well, I know, but you know, I think your problem is probably simple. I don't think you trust Jesus. Ah, we hate that guy. Well, there's your problem right there. But you know what? He loves you. I'm telling you, He loves you. And He's used us now to bless you. We're praying for you. They hate it. They hate that. Stop praying for us. But now that they got in trouble, they like us. They like us. Isn't that amazing? Now they like us. They say, hey, keep it up. Keep going. We hate you evangelicals theologically, but we like it when you come over and spend money. We like it that you're the only friends we have. Europe has left us. Most of America's left us. It's only the evangelical, crazy, charismatic, stupid guys that are still there. Those are the only ones that we have as friends. God really hates us, apparently. I tell you, the Jewish people today, they're opening their eyes. Netanyahu, Shimon Peres, these guys are opening their eyes. We know these people. And they are saying, maybe we should talk. This is the dialogue. Maybe we should talk. Now, we may not get along, but let's just start talking, because you're spending money. You're coming over here. And maybe something's going on here. Maybe we can't handle ourselves any longer. We're getting in trouble. We can almost feel the enemy coming at us from all sides. We don't know how long we can hold off. I mean, if we can just go and slaughter them all, we'd be all right, but then somebody'd probably get us. So they're nervous right now, because they could wipe out Iran in 3 days. They can blow that place off the face of the earth. Do you know that? They have the power. They have the technology. They have the ability. But even if they wiped out Syria and Iran and so on and so forth, they know they'd have other people from the Philippines and so on. There's a billion of them out there. So you wipe out 200 or 300 million, there's still billions of them. No, they're not going to happen. So they're nervous right now, and we're their only friends. Hi, just want to tell you about Jesus. Of course, we can do it with a Texas twang. I don't know how they do it here in California. Just want to tell you about Jesus. And you know, they all like it, but you know, there's nothing they can do about it. You know why? Because we do love them. I do. I love Israel. That's why I'm going this fall. I'm going because they know you're not here to do tourism and so on. You're here because you love us. You know, I don't know about the love part. That's God. But I'll tell you this. I know you have a future and a destiny. And it's tied up somehow with Africa, and it's somehow tied up with America, and somehow this Muslim thing is just something that God's raised up, and it's going to be removed, but only when we get right with God. And you're part of the reason that we're not right, because we've loved ourselves, and we haven't loved you, and we really haven't done a good job for all the world. We didn't care about the Muslims up until now. We didn't even know, we couldn't even say their names. Now all of a sudden they're everywhere. You know why? So they get saved. Did you know that's why they're here? They're not here to blow us up. They're here to get saved. So the issue is, if you're more afraid than you are excited, you miss God. The reason that they're here is get them saved. Because they're weak in 2 points. Number one, the Muslim is very weak when it comes to love. He feels lonely. You love him, he'll respond. You show love to him, he'll respond. Now, he won't love you back. He'll hate you. But if you forgive him and keep coming, he'll respond. Another thing, miracles. His God doesn't work miracles. All they got is, Osama, whatever. They don't have miracles. When they're sick or something, they come and you say, hey, let me pray for you. Boom. they realize, whoa, how'd that happen? Your God did that. They'll give glory to God. Over in Iraq right now, all kinds of Muslim young people are coming to the Lord. Older people, they go in there. And, you know, a lot of our troops are Christian. It's powerful. We have them from our church. They're witnessing all the time. And I tell you, the Muslims are responding. You have no idea what's happening in Iraq. It's not coming back through the media. But it doesn't matter. The soldiers, the Marines that are there, it's something powerful. Something powerful. Tons of them are getting baptized, becoming Christians. You say, well, maybe they're doing it just to get cigarettes. Maybe they're doing it just to, you know, whatever. Okay, fine. But maybe some of them are doing it because they really know there's something wrong with our system. Maybe the fruits of their system they know is not right. And maybe they see the fruit of our system. Now, our corruption is causing a lot of confusion. This country was once a nation that was a light to the lost, the forlorn, and so on. We have now become noted for our corruption. Our officials are always sleeping with somebody or, you know, taking a bribe from somebody else and so on. It's hard today to hold your head high as an American when you go around the world. You can't brag on us because we didn't do right with the race thing. We didn't do right with the Indians. We didn't do right with, you know, our own officials and so on and so forth. Well, okay, let the church then be a light and salt. Start with you. Just you and a neighbor. Don't win the whole world. Just start with, you know, one or two. Get your own family in order. Get your own children educated in the right way. Get back to God's order, to His authority. So He set up this system to protect the good guy, punish the bad guy. I don't care if it worked or not. It still was correct. Now, God is not going to release me until He says, Jim, the Antichrist is up right now, so you're just going to be persecuted and run into the ground and so on. Okay, that's fine. I don't care. But until He tells me that, I'm going to still believe in Romans 13. I'm going to believe that God isn't done with this thing yet. So I'm going to stay right there until He tells me, quit. But He didn't tell me. And I don't think He's going to tell me. I think just because the bad guy's in power doesn't mean anything. So what? Suffer. I don't mind suffering. When you stand for something, when you stand for the Lord, when you stand for truth, you're going to be persecuted, hated, misunderstood, abused. That's what Jesus did. So why should you be afraid? Am I going to go dialectic on Him? Am I going to play games? Am I going to try to, you know, finesse the thing? No. Stand for the Lord. Stand firm. Rejoice always. And the more that they come at you, the more you rejoice. The more you just tell them, you know, hey, look, there's nothing to be afraid of. We actually love you. You don't have it otherwise. You don't have it. We've got it. We know the truth. The truth will set you free. This, over here on his right side, is the only thing that's going to make this, what's on his left side, work. What's happening over here on the right hand of God is what finishes what's over here on the left hand of God. What God started in nature, He has to complete in Jesus. Jesus is the fulfillment of everything in nature. And part of that, then, are those three duties. Your duty to God, that's through Jesus. Your duty to man, that's through Jesus. Your duty to Caesar, that's through Jesus. The reason why we're failing today, we haven't sought out Jesus and the Holy Spirit. You grow in the Lord. You get your sins out of your life. You put your life in order, and God will be with you. How many are charged up to do that? It's good. I didn't talk you into it. I'm just telling you what the rules are. I didn't talk you into it. But God isn't finished right now. God isn't finished. He's looking for a people that are ready to be holy. So it's not a game. It's not a trick. It's the real thing. This is what the founders died for, gave up their lives for, their fortunes, everything else. It's what you have to pay for. You want that harvest? You got to pay for it. You want that harvest? You got to pay for it. You got to be a trustee, dead to this world, alive to God in Christ. Reckon yourself dead unto sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. You love this world? You're going to be dialectic. You love God? You'll be hated by this world. The dialecticians are going to persecute you. Let them. That just shows their weakness. The reason they persecute us is because they're jealous. They don't like it because we're happy. They don't like us because God likes us. You ugly nothing. That is the way they think about us. But you know, we're just simple people. But God loves us. God loves us. You have that kind of attitude? It's the kind of attitude you have to have. And I'm not afraid of anything. Perfect love casts out all fear. If you've got fear, you don't know what love is. You have imperfect love. You have conditional love. If you know that God loves you perfectly, you're free. Love will set you free, because it's truth in love. It's truth in love. It's truth in love. All right, I hope I blessed you. I wish I could have read 50 things, but you'll have to get that from Dean. God bless.
Since Pastor Jim has to leave in about 30 minutes or so, if you have any Q&A for him right now, we'd like you to take care of it. Was Bonhoeffer right or wrong?
About what he did? Only Bonhoeffer knows. Well, I mean, because we can't judge that. I can't say he's wrong. I can't say he's right. Because I have to answer for myself. So I got to decide what I would do in such a situation. I'll tell you this. He went to heaven. I'm not in doubt about that. He went to heaven. But he had some flaws in his life as well. Yeah. So, I don't know. Yeah, well, he could call it a de facto government rather than a de jure government, which he did. That's called a confessional stance. And the Lutheran Church took that. But the Lutheran Church was complicitous also. The Lutheran Church in Germany was part of the problem. They accepted fascism. And so the fact that they could be so easily dialecticized tells you something. Why is it that so many people are so easily dialecticized? Why are so many people who are smart? They're not uneducated. They're not uninformed. Why would they fall for that? Why would they go for that? They know it's against the Word of God. Because the German people have been worked down through Hegelian philosophy, through Freudianism, through Darwinism, through all these isms that have come up over the years, and they couldn't see through them. The universities were taken over by, you know, liberal-type professors and so on and so forth, and the schools are still that way. So what? Why worry about that? Send our own people in. The way to defeat them is to live yourself in such a way that's holy and so on. Bonhoeffer was a witness. He was a martyr. I don't have any doubt about that. I guarantee you, he did the best he knew. God will never fault him on that. There's no question. He died as a Christian. But was he mature? Was he correct? That I cannot say. I would have to be in his situation. I might do the same thing he did. I might not. I just have to ask God what time it is. He made a decision, and other people made the decision with him. Whether he was right or not. He never said to anyone that I'm a mature Christian. He said the opposite. He said, I am not a mature disciple. I believe there's a cost to discipleship, but I don't know if I've paid it. And when he died, he felt, I've paid the discipleship cost, but it wasn't God, his physical death that he wanted. God wanted his psychological death. Turn your life over to me. I believe that's what he was talking about. I gave my life up, even if it meant physical. I gave my life up. God knows I would serve him. In that sense, he was correct. But whether he actually did the right thing, you're not. You know, the only thing God wants from you is not being smart and knowing what the will of God is. It's just that as much as I know, I'm going to do. That's all. That's all God wants. Do the best you know how. Yeah.
Monarchy can also is also God's government, since he put David, and he said that he was going that
there would always be someone sitting on the throne of David. So because it's also it puts that authority,
and again, if people
need
to surrender to God, so
yeah, absolutely, yeah, that's powerful, that's powerful. Anyone else? Yes.
What's your thinking of why America not getting you can't see it in scripture? Do you think it's basically because the Christian is depending on if we follow God's rule or not, how the country will end
up? That's a good question. I don't know that. All I know is that's what we got to do. Whether that'll have an impact or not, I don't know. I mean, that's God's interest to have us obey until the Antichrist jumps up, and you can't. It's dark. No one can work when it's dark. Work while it's time. It's daytime. I think it's still daytime, so I'm still going to work. But whether it produces anything or not, I'm not doing it because it produces anything. I'm going to do it because God said to do it. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm like Bonhoeffer. I may be wrong. I'm going to do it anyway. until God says otherwise, I'm going to just serve Him with excitement, hope, praise, and glory. Just keep doing what I'm doing. I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm also going to be a good neighbor. I'm going to love my neighbor. I'm going to do all of it. Whatever God told me to do, I'm going to pay my taxes. I'm sure I pay way too much taxes, but that isn't my problem. My problem is not if I pay too much. My problem is how to be faithful in whatever I do, to render fear, to render honor, to render, you know, whatever I owe.
Question about Luther. Why was he, at least some people present him as being so anti-Semitic? And evidently he says some really bad things. What,
right. It's a huge question. I can answer it, but it's too big. It's too big to answer it because it's not a simple kind of answer.
Right.
So, you know, it's just easier not to answer it. Just to say, well, he was a child of his age, an idiot. Or to say, you know, it's because he, you know, had a lot of talks with him and they frustrated him or something. But to say it was God's will, you know, he'd do all that. You know, Luther didn't have the theology we have, that the Jewish people still have a future. He totally gave up on the Jewish people. So he was wrong there. He was wrong to get frustrated with them just because they're hard to deal with. So what? You still have to love them because God does. He's not done with them. But that doesn't mean the Jewish guys were nice people. They weren't. They were nasty people just like he was. They were equal to each other. But that doesn't excuse him. He was a Christian. He should have shown mercy to them. Tell them the truth, yes. But speak the truth in love, not just give up on them. Well, you stubborn, stupid people. You know, it's okay as long as you love them and willing to die for them. No, I don't know that he was. You know, well, whether he was or not, let him answer it like Bonhoeffer or something else. I don't know those answers. All I know is I got to do it. I don't care what he did. I mean, he's no God. But he didn't say he was either. Yeah.
Just that question about Luther, what he... That was his attitude early when he was a monk and stuff, but I think later in his life his opinion towards the Jewish people changed.
Yeah, you're raising a very interesting question. One of the problems with the late Luther, that's true, by the way, the Catholic Church was always anti-Semitic in that sense. But one of his problems was he began to think Christ is going to come back any day now and the world is over. So his whole idea of winning the Jewish people, he got frustrated because they weren't coming in. You know, so he got really mad at them. I've loved you guys, you know. And so it's like, he was wrong. But that's what he thought. He thought the world was going to come to an end. He didn't think that the 16th century was going to be, anything was going to come after it. So he thought it was pretty much over.